So after Yonathan had taken from the honey, the people started killing everybody from Michmash to the valley of Ayalon. Ayalon, as we said, was Shalvin. Michmash is right over there. They went all the way out. Okay, here we go.
Michmash is far.
Where is Michmash?
Michmash is much further to the east.
I don't know where Michmash is. Do you know where it is? Here's the map right
here.
Look. It's right over here. Michmash is right there.
It's more like here. Michmash is over here, and Ayalon is over here.
Oh, that's a long way. That's a really long way. That's crazy long. That's awesome. Okay, so it said the people were unbelievably exhausted. Okay, so Vayasa Amel Shalom. So the people ran to the spoils. Vayichu Tzonu Bakar. They took the sheep and the cattle, the Bnei Bakar and the young cattle. Vayishkatu Arsa. They shucked it in the ground. Vayochol Amel Adam. They ate on the blood. They ate together with the blood. Some say that they were literally eating meat with the blood. They didn't wait for the meat to drain from its blood. Some say that they were bringing a large stone so the animals could be slaughtered on, and the blood would, you know, they just started drinking whole cups of blood. And some say that they did not sprinkle the blood on top of the mizbeach for anything that was a korban. So they ate like that. They told Shaul, saying, they're sinning to Hashem. They're eating with the blood. Bring me the big stone. A big stone in order to make a mizbeach for it to be there. So he said, Yomer Shaul, putzubam, spread it among the people. Everybody bring me their ox and their sheep. Then shecht it here. Then he won't say to Hashem, they all brought it over there. Also, it's strange, right? Because they didn't have any metal. They didn't have swords before. There were only a few knives that they were able to use for slaughtering. That's it. So it's very strange.
Was this before, like, the copper age?
No. There was copper. But the Plishtim owned all the factories that had everything. They even showed Mizbeach Lashem. Ozoi Hild knows Mizbeach Lashem. Shol built a Mizbeach. This is the first Mizbeach that he had built. Pasuk Lamed Vav. Let's go after the Plishim tonight. We'll kill them until next morning. We won't let anybody remain. They said, alright, whatever you want to do, we'll do. And they said what they're like. Let's ask God. Let's ask the Urim Tumim. Shol asked God on that day, right? And should I go after the Plishim? Will you put them in the hands of these Shol? But it wouldn't answer him on that day. Now, there was an answer. And we said this last week. If the answer was no, if there was no answer whatsoever, then they would have thought that there was a problem with the Kohanim. There was a problem with the Kohen who was asking the Ronatum. It was his problem. The answer here was no. That's what it means. When it says, the low ano b'yomahu, the low was the answer on that day. The answer was no. B'yomah shol goshu av halom, kofinos on, bring everybody here. What was the sin that went wrong today? Israel, by the living God who saved Bnei Israel, came Yeshua B'Yonasan B'ni. Even if Yonasan my son, Kimosim Musi will surely die in Onayim Yikolam. Then people, everybody was silent. They realized that the reason why this happened was Yonasan. Hold on, give me a second. B'Yomoko Yisrael, attempt to you, Le'Aver Echad. Everybody on one side, but even Yonasan B'ni, Nia Le'Aver Echad. Me and Yonasan will be on the other side. He realized something was wrong, and he realized it was Yonasan when everybody was silent. B'Yomoko Amal Shol, I'll talk in Echad. Whatever you want to do is good. B'Yomoko Shol, Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Basamim Yilochid Yonasan Shol, Va'am Yatso. Let's make it happen. Okay, so they drew it, and Yonatan and Shaul were caught, and the people were fine. They were Shaul, he threw Bini Uben Yonatan Bini by the look at Yonatan. He said, make the goral between me and him.
So and when do we adjudicate cases based on a goral?
I mean, only if you have the Urim V'Tumim. That's what happened with Achan. It happened by David and Melech. Only if you have the Urim V'Tumim. You don't have it normally.
This was by the Urim V'Tumim.
The Urim V'Tumim is involved. No, normally a Navi is not good enough in such a situation.
Oh, but how about Sarah? Sarah was able to do it.
Sarah never had access.
Oh, Shaul just said, Shaul goes to Sarah.
No, Yoav, later, but that has nothing to do with anything. It has to do with getting a guy out of the city. Getting a guy out of the city. That's much later. It's about, it's in Shmuel Beis, I think. Yomer Shaul, Yonatan, Hagidili Ma'asiso. So Shaul said to Yonatan, tell me what you did. Now, Yonatan, as you just said, had all the excuses in the world. He never heard about the oath. The oath was that nobody could eat. He never heard about it. Number two, he didn't eat bread. Shaul girl said, don't eat bread. He ate honey. He didn't eat any bread. Number three, he had stopped once he was told about it. It stopped, right? Number four, he thought it was a silly law. He couldn't understand why they had made it. And number five, he's the one that just saved all the Jews. I mean, he's the one who fought by himself against the police and made the police go all crazy against each other. They killed each other because of him. I mean, clearly the Jewish Yeshua was doing
it. His father's decree. Maybe that's
they didn't know.
It's interesting, right? Who says that the reason why he was caught was because he ate? It was because he made fun of his father. So he said, Yonason said, I tasted something with the edge of my staff. I'm going to die. He did not put up an argument at all. He said, I agree. I'm supposed to die. Now, granted, the Urim and Thummim had already predicated this. They had already said that he was responsible. Nonetheless, he did not say a word.
Why
understood.
Why such a harsh punishment if he didn't even know?
That would have been Yonason's kind of, but Shaul had made this oath, and he said, anybody who eats will die.
Period.
And that was the problem. Well, that's why we do. That's why we do what's called Kol Nidre. That's why we do Ataras Nedarim. Nedarim are a big thing. They're a very big thing. But Yomer Shol Kol Yasel came with Kol Yosuke Mosimus Yonason. Hashem should do more and even more. But Yonason, my son, is going to have to die. It's going to have to happen. Yomer Amos Shol. The people said to Shol, Yonason Yamusa Shol Say Yeshua Gedolah Zos Be Shol. Yonason's going to die. He just made this huge salvation happen. Chalila Chay Hashem Yifu Misaros Rosh Arta. Chalila, by the life of God, not a single hair of his head should fall to the ground. Because of what God did today, they redeemed Yonason. He would not die. They said, come on. And they gave the excuses. Yonason wouldn't give any excuses, but they gave the excuse to Shaul, and they said, that's that. So that's that. Why did the Urim and Thummim catch him? It could be it's because Yonason had said something wrong. It could be.
Why
did he say anything? I mean, in theory, the people were right. Yonason did not deserve to die. He never heard about it. He never knew. Why does he deserve to die? The answer is
the Urim and Thummim. This is something more, like much more above, like just human logic.
So we've got to understand why.
The Urim and Thummim weren't deciding who's supposed to die. They were just deciding who committed the sin.
Why did the Urim and Thummim get involved if it wasn't really a sin?
No. They were pointing out who sinned, but who says that? They were saying that, yeah, it's Tithe Misa. He's committed a sin. Not every sin is Tithe Misa.
If Yonason said, whoever I find is Chayav Misa, it would seem like the Urim and Thummim is popping that way. I hear your answer, but really what you could say over here is that they wanted Yonason to admit publicly what he had done wrong. Yonason probably would have gone through the rest of his life not thinking he ever did anything wrong, and he did do something wrong. Whether it was about yelling at Shaul, yelling about Shaul's decree, or eating something, even if he didn't really know about it, somebody had to say something. Especially because it was so public, so many people saw Yonason eating while they were running through the forest. Yeah.
It's like, even though it's not fair in a regular common person sense, but when you go against a king,
even more so, Moreed ben Malchus.
You're Moreed ben Malchus.
Yeah, you would think even more so it's there.
Extend even further, even if you didn't hear it.
100%.
It was the responsibility of your 100% companions to tell you.
What's even stranger about this is that it's weakness number 5 that we've seen in Shaul. This is the 5th weakness that Shaul has shown. Shaul said, whoever eats will die. When it happened, he said, even my son is going to have to die. And he said, my son will die. And yet he gave in.
And the
I definitely agree. I agree.
He couldn't back up his own son. I'm going to be like, oh, you're backing down because it's your own son. I'm going to kill him.
He shouldn't have backed down at all. No, even the people, even if the people said to him, no, don't kill him, Shaul should have said, I made a law, and therefore, period, Yonason's going to have to die. Again, it's a weakness. Whether or not, again.
Is it a weakness, or is it showing what the king really is?
A king must decide and not be wishy-washy. Shaul's biggest problem was that he was wishy-washy when it boiled down to extra, what's the word? I don't know.
Back in the day when kings made a decree, there was no way to override it.
Yeah.
There was no way to go back.
Exactly.
100%.
He's a dumb though.
I understand.
Regardless, if that's the way it is, that's it.
Honestly, nonetheless, the reason is because we don't really understand what a king is.
Yeah. He has power. Pure power.
Absolutely.
I agree. So if a king is driving the country into the ground, he can't turn around and be like, oh, I made a mistake, let's change the economy.
You don't watch Rome.
He can. No one else can.
No,
he can't
even.
He can't. but he cannot be convinced.
But I'm saying he can't go back.
No, he might be right. Yeah, that's right. Well, they did do it somehow.
They made another gzeirah, we are now fighting with the Jews.
You can't take back what you already said.
You're right. You're right. It works if you have a king.
The king can drive the country into the ground. Be like, I can't take back my word. I'm the king.
There's no democracy. It's a kingdom.
No, I think the king realizes. If the king realizes he made a mistake.
Yes.
I want to reverse myself.
So you have to come up with a different way.
Decree to be able to do it.
I think that the last one, where those power.
I don't deal with democracy. So of course you don't understand.
Showing power is kind of stupid. Sometimes people are just going to rebel.
That's why sometimes. The king has to be very careful about what he says and what decrees he puts out.
Let's go to that. Let's go. No, there's no men, love. Thou Show went up from after the policemen. The policemen returned to the place. Remember, they couldn't fight and kill the rest of the policemen. So because they couldn't fight and kill the rest of the policemen were able to go home, and they still ran away, which meant that the policemen were still going to be able to fight a war later on. The Show look on him, Luke all Yisrael. Show took hold of the kingdom on Bnei Yisrael. By Elohim, some of the Kol Evav, and he fought around all of the enemies. The Moab, the Amun, the Edom, the Sova, the Plisha, the Korsha, the Shia. Wherever he went, he overwhelmed his enemies. He fought against Moab, Amun, Edom, Sova, Aram, Sova, and the Plisha. Wherever he went, he turned everyone around. Now, unfortunately, some people say that Yarshia also means he was confused. And they say that this is all referring to Halachos. And that in Halachos, he had gotten very confused and he messed up. That he did not always come to the right conclusion when it came to halacha.
That's the idea behind it. Nonetheless,
that's not the halacha. And that's meant by Yarshia.
He's able to do tshuva and he's able to fix it up.
Possible, but that still meant that he wasn't possibly incorrectly. They asked Chayil, he made an army. They asked Amalek and he killed Amalek. They asked Somiachosteo and he saved Bnei Yisrael from the hands of the spoilers. And we're about to explain what happened with Amalek. Shaul had three sons, Yonasan, Yishvi, Malkishua. He had two daughters, Merav and Michal. Michal, the one who's going to end up marrying David Melech, although Merav is also involved. What? Well, these are the three sons that were going to be with him in war. We're going to talk about them.
Daughters aren't with him in war.
They're going to be involved. We'll see them later on. The wife of Shaul, the name of the wife of Shaul was Achinoam ben Achimas. Avner ben Ner, Dod Shaul, the uncle of Shaul. Avner ben Ner was his general. The Kish, Avi Shaul ben Ner, Avner ben Aviel. Okay, so Kish, Shaul's father, and Ner, Avner's father, were both the sons of Aviel. Some say he was called Ner because he put candles on dark streets to light it up for different people. I see him come because I'll call Pelishim, calling me Shaul. The war against the Pelishim during the days of Shaul was very strong. Barash Shaul called Ish Gibor, Bechol ben Chayil, Mayaswe Lov. Shaul looked for strong men and army men, and he gathered them to him. Okay, so here we go. This is what's going to happen over here. The Yom Shmuel Shaul is the beginning of Parashat Shmuel. Shmuel said to Shaul, Osi Shlach Hashem L'Mishonach L'Melach Al-Amo Al-Yisrael V'Atashma L'Kol Dibre Hashem. I was sent by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to anoint you as king over his people, over Bnei Yisrael. Now you have to obey HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words. Now, Shaul may have doubted that the command, that there's a whole big thing of what's going to happen over here. The mitzvah of Amalek happens only after you become king. If you become king, then you have to fight Amalek, and after you fight Amalek, then you get into... And then he has to build the base of Mikdash. That has to be the order. Shaul may have held, the reason why he didn't do so up until now is because he may have held that you're not chayiv to do it unless you're the full king. And he always considered himself to be more of a steward, but not yet a full king. So because of that, he thought that maybe he shouldn't be chayiv to kill Amalek until the next king comes up. Okay, so that's why he waited until the times of Shmuel and Avi for Shmuel and Avi to tell him. It could be also that the only time you're allowed to kill Amalek or go to war against Amalek is if you're told to by a Navi, and therefore you have to wait for Shmuel to tell
him.
And king, make a king. I remember what Amalek did to Bnei Yisrael. They waited for them on the road by Los and Mitzrayim when they came up from Mitzrayim, and these children were terrible. The word pakadati is always a deposit. Hashem pakad esara. He kept her mitzvot and allowed her to have a child. So too, he kept their averos Amalek and allowed them to have bad things happen to them. Amalek, go kill Amalek, Bahramtem Eskoshalo, destroy everything he owns, below Sakhmalov, do not have mercy on him. May Matmi Isha Ad Isha, may Olavad Yonik, kill man and woman, child and nursing, suckling. Mishor Bad Sami, Gomel Bad Chamor, axe, sheep, camel, donkey. It's pretty darn clear, right? That's the idea behind it, and that's the idea behind all this. You should know, by the way, Mohammed Mitzvah demands that you have an overture for peace, that you ask them first. Mohammed Mitzvah is included fighting against the seven Canaanite nations, Amalek, or any war of self-defense. The first thing you do is you are supposed to offer to make peace together with them. That does apply to Amalek as well. Had they accepted Shalom, they would have been saved as well.
How would you be fulfilling accepting Amalek?
You'd have to do it by erasing them from being Amalek. That now that they're peaceful, they're subservient to you or subjugated to you, you somehow get rid of who they are. There's a big question whether or not Gerim can come from Amalek, but it seems clear that they could, because Haman's grandsons learned Torah and B'nai Brak. So it seems that they certainly did have an ability to. So Shaul summoned the people, he counted them with sheep. There were 200,000 foot soldiers, 10,000 were from the men of Yehuda. It's possible this is a quote in Pesach, and this is an approximate amount, but they basically said there were 10 people per lamb, and that's how they counted up all together. There was no onus given for counting, since it was done so indirectly, and it was not an exact count, it was approximate. He went against the city of Amalek, and he fought them in the Nachal. Now, Chazal tell us, Yor Benachal is a reference to the Nachal by Egla Rufa. He darshaned the Kal V'chomer from Egla Rufa. By Egla Rufa, if there's a dead body in between two cities, you don't know who killed it. You measure the closest city, and you have that city bring a cow down to a valley, and they bring the cow down there, and they kill it, and whatever it is. Therefore, in other words, we spare as many lives as we possibly can, right? And we try to make sure that all death has an atonement. So you see how important death is, that even though it's some random guy that you don't know who he is that died, still we want to have some type of kapara. So too, there should be a kapara for Amalek. He made almost like a kal v'chomer. Let there be a kal v'chomer that the Amalekim should also be saved. Also, Shaul worried about the kids. He said, why should the kids die? Kids didn't do anything wrong. So the Baskol came out and said, Al tats titzdak harbe. Don't be too big of a tzav. I told you to kill Amalek and everything. Don't spare animals for korbanos. Don't spare the children because you think they're not chayev. I told you to do it. You go ahead and do it. Yomer Shaul Akeni. He told the Kani, get away from the Amalek. Now, who are the Kani? They were the sons of Yisro who lived among Amalek. Maybe I will kill you with them. You did a chesed with Bnei Yisrael by coming up from Mitzrayim, by teaching them the halakhos of Dinin. And they left Amalek and they went away. It's possible that there were three children of Amalek. There were people that were learning Torah under Othniel ben Kenaz, and they were part of the Jews. There were other people who were wicked who wanted to live among the Amalek. And there were other, there were nomads. They were just opportunists, basically, and they went wherever they were supposed to go. He killed them all the way from Chavila until Shur, right in front of Egypt. But he supposed to Agag Melech Amalek Chai. He captured Agag, the king of Amalek, alive. Let's go on Achor and Lefichorev, and he killed every single one of them. This was part of the Nevuah of Bilam, who said that the king will be exalted above Agag. They understood that Agag was going to be around. Shaul and the people had mercy on Agag.
Why would they have mercy on Agag and not like an infant or like...
He
was the worst.
Amazing, right? Now, let me give you one line, and hopefully it'll be explained. And on the best of the sheep and the cattle, right? The fat, fatted ones and the big ones, right? And all the good that they had, they didn't want to destroy. Everything that was disgusting and that nobody wanted, that they destroyed. The person who thought that it was a pity to destroy Amalek was Doeg Hoed Domi. He was the guy who got up and said it. He was the chief justice in Shaul's court. He was an extremely brilliant man, but he was also evil and corrupt. And Doeg Hoed Domi suggested that that was what they should do over here. Shem spoke to Shmuel saying, "Now I'm upset that I've made Shaul king, Lamelech. He shoved me achorai. He has gone back from doing my word. That's Devari Loikimi. Did not do what I said. Shmuel got very angry and he davened all night long. That's the idea behind it. So we're going to see what was really the problem over here, but that's what's going to happen. So let's see. Vayashkim Shmuel likras Shaul. Shmuel got up early to go greet Shaul baboker. But you got the Shmuel lemor. He told Shmuel saying, "Bas Shaul Carmela." Shaul went to Carmel. Vine meitiv lo yod. He's setting up a place for himself. Vayisov vayavar devayir at Gilgal. Then he turned down and went to Gilgal. Meaning Shmuel didn't want to summon Shaul to him. He didn't want to send a message. He wanted this to be direct, exactly what it was going to be. This mizbeach that Shaul had made on Har Carmel is the same mizbeach that later on Eliyahu Navi is going to erect when he fights the Nevi'ei Baal, the priests of Baal. Ve'evo Shmuel l'Shaul ve'yomer l'Shaul, Baruch Atah Hashem, Hakimosi Yitzvah Hashem, blessed are you to Hashem, said Shaul to Shmuel HaMelech, I have accomplished the word of God. Pretty good, right? I have accomplished the word of God. He mamish thought he had done it. Ve'yomer Shmuel, umeh, I love that, umeh, kol atzon hazeh, ba'oznoi, what is that voice, that noise of the sheep that I hear in my own ears? Kol ha'bakar she'anochi shmeah, I hear cattle. What's going on with all them? They bought them from Amalek. Listen, the people had pity on them. The other people on the best of the sheep, to bring it to Hashem. Isn't that a good idea? That's the Yosef around there, but we destroyed everything else. Had Shaul said that we decided to keep it around and not blame the people, his punishment would have been less severe. The fact that he wasn't like David Melech. David Melech was told, you did something wrong with Bathsheba, he immediately said, I sinned. He immediately admitted to his wrongdoing. Whether he had excuses or not, Yonathan said, I sinned. Shaul HaMelech gave excuses. It was the people.
But Bathsheba, only, I mean, David can't blame that. I mean, just make a distinction.
He could have said, well, she had a get. The get was Al-Tanai. He could have said, Achitofel advised me. He could have blamed not maybe other people, but he could have blamed it on situations and other things. Maybe he could have done that, but he didn't. He said immediately, I did something wrong. Shaul HaMelech looked for an ability to get out of his sin. It wasn't me, it was the people. It was the people that did it. Remember, he's the one that saved Agag. He's the one that decided what to do with Agag. That's what he should have said. That's the idea behind it, and that was the problem over here, that he did not do it. Quickly, I have to tell you what Hashem spoke to me this past night. And he said to him, speak. Okay, so he said, you may think of yourself small, that you can't fight the people, that you have no choice but to listen to them. You are the head of the Shvatim of Bnei Yisrael. God has anointed you to be king over Bnei Yisrael, and you can have no excuse. Hashem has sent you on a way. And he said to you, go and destroy the sinners of Amalek. And you should fight them until you destroy them. Same, by the way, same line of Chatoyim, the same line they use for Sidon. That's the problem, that the Amalekim were the same level as those people in Sidon. Why did you not listen to the voice of Hashem? You rushed like a vulture to the spoils. You have done evil. I listened to the voice of Hashem. You hear this? He's still saying, I did it. I went down the road that Hashem sent me. But I only brought Agag to be killed here. The rest of Amalek I destroyed over there. You hear what he's trying to say right now? It's crazy. Yamamish felt that he had done everything. I just did one thing wrong. I kept Agag around. That's all it was. Think about what's the big deal. Now we know that Agag, because he had one extra day to be alive, either slept with or somehow impregnated one of the maidservants of the household and allowed that maidservant to have a child who ended up being ended up having the descendants that led to Haman. That came from Agag. Like, keeping him alive for that one night allowed that to happen. That's what happened with Agag. So as much as he was saying, I took Agag here to be killed, first of all, that doesn't seem to be the truth. He kept Agag because you had mercy on him. Number two, you still have an answer to the animals. They took the spoils, everything over here, in order to sacrifice to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, come on. Isn't that a great idea? Isn't that exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu should want? You think God wants your korbanos rather than listening to his voice. He'd rather you listen than a good korban. To listen rather than bring the fat of these rams over here. For the sin that you have done of going up against God is equal to the sin of going up to sorcerers and the people that are out there. And exaggeration going up, exactly, is akin to the sin of Avodah Zarah. You have rejected the word of God, he's rejected you from being the king. Now here's the pshat. First of all, Shmuel saw in the future that Shaul HaMelech was going to go to a Balasov. He was going to go to a Balasov and call up a Balasov in order to find out what to do. He said, what you're doing right now is going to be equal to what you're doing back then. That's number one. Number two, you don't realize how magic-filled these people were. The Amalekim were filled with kesef, filled with magic, filled with this garbage. In other words, what he was trying to say to them was, is that, I'm just telling you, that those Amalekim may have survived. And the Ben Ish Chai says, the animals that they had saved, many of them were Amalekim in disguise. That they had disguised themselves through Achiza Seinayim as animals, and they had survived by doing such a thing.
Wait, look at the sukkim we just read.
Yeah.
And the way so we were contrasting Shaul and David now before.
Yeah.
This is in an Aleph where David writes about him and Bathsheba and Tehillim.
Yeah.
Look at the last few lines.
Oh, very good. That's what you want to have, the Zevach. Very good. He learned from this lesson. That's good. Now he admitted I sinned. And your words, I went against his words and your words. But now we get further. But it was because I was afraid of the people. I was afraid of the people, and I listened to their voices. Shmuel, stop! Just stop! You just want to scream at him. Don't do this. You can't excuse him at all. Now please forgive me for my sin. Return with me. I'm going to go bow down to our Kaddish Baruch Hu and ask him for forgiveness. He wanted him for kavod purposes. Don't leave me now. Don't leave me hanging. I don't want people to see that you left me. I'm not coming back with you. You have despised the word of God. God has rejected you from being king over Bnei Yisrael. Shmuel turned to go. But Shaul grabbed onto the cloak on the robe that he had and he tore it. This is the Nevuah. Shmuel told Shaul, the one who tears your robe in the future will be the future king. And we'll see that that's what David Malach ends up doing.
Didn't he already tell him that he was taking away the kingship from him like the last time when he didn't wait for him to make korbanos?
There's always chance for tshuva. And now it's getting worse and worse. Vayomer Elav Shmuel, Karasham is Mamlechus Yisrael Mi'alecha Ayom. Kadosh Baruch Hu was torn away the kingdom from you today. And his son Lo'reacha told me Mecca. And he has already decided another friend who is better than you. So here it says, by the way, they learn over here, Shaul did not lose his chelik in Olam Haba. From what happened. Again, Netzach Yisrael Yishaker V'Leinachem Ki Lo Adam Lo Yinachem. The Netzach Yisrael, the winner of Bnei Yisrael, meaning the one who is the master of Yisrael's victories, will neither lie nor go back on his word, because he is not a man that will go back. This is official. I have sinned, he said. I took Abdeni, no, honor me, please. Negit Zikne Yisrael. Shuvi me, come back with me. Shavis, let's bow down to Hashem. Shmuel did return after Shaul, because now out of his honor, he wanted to do it. Shmuel didn't want to humiliate Shaul. He bowed down with Shaul to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yomer Shmuel, Hagishu Elayis Agag Melech HaMolech. Shmuel said, bring me Agag, king of HaMolech, Yelech Elav Agag Ma'adanos. So he came bound. Yomer Agag, Achein, Sar Mar HaMoveth. He said, okay, the bitterness of death is now gone. Since he said, I already have a child, the bitterness of death is not as bad. Or he may have thought that he was being spared. He may have thought that Shmuel Nevi was going to save him. He may have said that. Yomer Shmuel, Kasher Shiklin Nashim Chabek, like your sword has bereaved woman, and Cain Tishkal Minashim Yimecha, your mother should be bereaved of all of other, of more than any other woman. I think his mother was dead. By the way, the Yishasei made Shmuel as Agag Libnei Hashem by Gilgal, and Shmuel cut Agag down in front of Hashem in Gilgal. And the line that he's trying to say is that
him, but here it translates him as cut him in pieces.
Yeah, cut him down. I don't think it is beheaded. Yeah, I don't think that's that. Oy, but it was too late. Anyway, Vayelech Shmuel and Ramah. So Shmuel went to Ramah. Vishol Olo Basil Givat Shol. Shol went back to his house in Givat Shol. Right, that's where he was. Olo Yosef Shmuel the Rosh Shol at Yom Moso. Shmuel no longer went to go see Shol until the day of his death. He's Abel Shmuel of Shol because Shmuel mourned for Shol. He was upset. His handiwork didn't work out. He made him king, and now it didn't work out. Hashem Nicham Kiimlech Shol Yisrael. Hashem was upset that he had made Shol king over Bnei Yisrael. Parak Tzayin is next week, guys.